If you were not here Monday night for Celebrate Recovery, the choir showed up and the Lord showed out. And he's going to do the same thing again this morning. Now, I'm going to take just a minute because we had a special request. The ushers have not got to hear these ladies sing this song. You're all in here? Okay, all right. You know, we were up there in the sound booth talking about how can we stall for time if they're not all in here, because they wanted to be here. They've never got to hear these ladies sing. And everybody in unison said, either get Tommy Bruce up there to pray or get Tom Payne up there to talk about Celebrate Recovery, and you got all the time in the world. And they both do an amazing job at each thing. But for the next few minutes, this choir is going to sing for you, and I just want you to be blessed. Ladies, y'all come on up, get ready to sing. You know, we're sitting in a beautiful place this morning, nowhere near a trash dump, not under a shed even. And we were kind of laughing up there when we first started this little church. It was a little then. It's not so much anymore. Not going to be in the future. But we talked about Preston didn't even know how to plug a wire in. He had numbers. We had cables. We had to set up sound system every Sunday morning. He had number one goes in number one over here. And we did that. And now the Lord, look what the Lord's blessed us with. It is a happy day in this place this morning, and let's rejoice in the Lord as these people sing for you this morning.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
He taught me how.
Oh, yeah.
To walk. that paid my way. Death, its price, when it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. In 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you. That he's coming back for you. There is a blood that sights the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free. As chains they fall upon the ground, so pour it out to cleanse my soul, and let his liquid glory flow, because he lives to make me whole. They try to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you that he dries every tear that falls.
Lord. It's a privilege for me as a preacher to be able to get up behind singing like that and preach. They get you excited. I was here Monday night at Celebrate Recovery, and this church has a fantastic Celebrate Recovery program, by the way. If you know anybody that needs help, this is a place they can get help with anything they have trouble with. Some people come here on Monday night because the county tells them they've got to. Some people come because they need to. Some people come expecting to help somebody else and get help for themselves. But that's all right. All that's all right. But it's a great Celebrate Recovery program. Meets here on Monday night. They have dinner about 6, get started about 10 to 7. They have classes afterwards. But the choir sang here Monday night, and they sang all three of these songs. And I was sitting there while they were singing, and God gave me this thought that I'm going to share with you this morning. Now, at the time, I didn't know they were going to sing all three songs again. Somebody cornered them that was here Monday night and said, look, just do that again Sunday morning. And it's fine with me. You know, I enjoy being here. I enjoy the good music. I enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And I'm glad that I'm saved by the grace of God. You know, some people aren't saved. It's probably more than likely somebody in this house this morning that if you were to be asked directly, do you know if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? They couldn't say yes. You know, we have a witnessing program at this church, and you know, they knock on doors and they try to talk to people about the Lord. Try to ask them, do you know if you were to go die right now, where you'd go and spend eternity? You know, I've heard several different responses to that. I've heard some people say, well, I really hadn't thought about it. You know, and some people when they respond, and now this is rare, but this does happen, somebody will say, well, I know if I died right now, I'd go to hell. You know, we won't talk about those things. I want to share with you the thought that I have this morning is good news for lost people. You know, the word gospel means good news. If you got your Bibles, if you want to turn with me, if you'd stand for just a minute for the reading of God's word. In Matthew chapter number 18, I want to read in the 11th verse down through the 14th verse. Now, here's something that I found that's very true about God's word. I could preach on the same passage of scripture every Sunday and never preach the same message. Now, that absolutely could happen if God's Spirit comes on the scene. And I want you to understand something. Without God's Spirit, it's all vain. You know, there's a song, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And I want to be the first to tell you as a preacher, it takes the Spirit of God. I'd rather get up here and have three words to say to you over and over and then be anointed by the Holy Spirit than get up here with a unique outline book report and God not be present. Okay, and a lot of times that's what happens, but I rely on God. I do. I can't do it by myself. Somebody here needs God this morning. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 18, beginning in the 11th verse, it says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 90 and the 9, and go into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that not one of these little ones should perish. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you for letting us be in your house. Thank you for your sweet spirit. Oh God, thank you for what we've already been able to feel. Thank you, Lord, for the video that, Lord, makes us realize how blessed we are, that should God send conviction into our hearts when we complain. God, thank you for the singing that, Lord, has worked so hard on. And God, we see, Lord, the blessing that we have in this church to have this type of choir and this type of music and have your spirit here. Lord, we thank you for these little children, God, that came forth to be dedicated. Lord, their future in front of them. God, I know you have great things for them. God, we thank you for all the hard workers in this church. Lord, we thank you for this youth group over here, God, that sits up here so faithful every Sunday. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, I'm thankful as I get into this message this morning that you still want to save lost people. And God, we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise as we bow our heads and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Good news for lost people. The word gospel means good news. So when you're reading the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the story, it's good news. You know, there is good news, and if you'll think about it for just a minute, often when you read through the Word of God, God's people are compared to sheep. And Jesus himself even compared us to sheep on multiple occasions. We've been going through the 23rd Psalm on Wednesday night where David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he goes through and he looks at what it means to be a sheep under the master shepherd's care. Now, David was also a shepherd and he understood how to compare it directly. Well, here you see in Matthew chapter number 18, Jesus is looking at us as sheep. And he talks about if a man were to have 100 and one goes astray, he's going to be looking for that one that's gone astray. Now, you know, we can compare that in our own lives. If you've got children, I've heard it said that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. Now, I'll tell you as a father, I'm one of those mothering dads. And when one of my children is not right, I'm not right. I'm out of sorts. And I want to tell you, as I look at this scripture and I see what Jesus is saying, he said it's not going to be right until everybody that's going to come in has come in. And when I look at it, I see that Jesus is still looking for that lost sheep. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know right now, Jesus is looking for you. He's looking for you and he wants to find you. But here's where we're at. We come to the point that the Word of God comes and it speaks to your heart. And God is speaking to you, letting you know that you're the one he's talking to. But you have to get up and come forward to receive what he has to offer. Now, the good news is that Jesus Christ still saves sinners. Amen? But here's the bad news. And I have to give this to you this morning. The bad news is that if you're here and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never prayed a prayer of repentance and never asked God into your heart, you are lost. Now, you know, people don't want to hear that anymore. People don't want to accept that anymore. They don't want to believe it. When you hear something like that, it forces people to think. You know, a lot of people are going through life today and they're going through it oblivious, not even thinking about eternity. I heard the analogy of a man going down the fast lane on the expressway. Have you ever seen anybody in the fast lane running 85 miles an hour, talking on the cell phone, driving with their knee while they're trying to write? That's the way a lot of people go through life. They don't realize that just like that, they could be into the wall and their lives are eternally changed. People go through life and they hear a preacher get up and preach what I'm preaching to you, and they say, "I wish he'd just be quiet and sit down because everything was good until I heard what he had to say." But if you're here this morning and you're lost and you've never accepted Jesus, I want you to know that today you could go out into eternity. And when you go out into eternity, where are you going to be? Well, I hadn't thought about it. Well, let's think about it for just a little bit. Where did we come from? The Bible tells us in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. He created the first man, Adam, and he created his wife, Eve. He created every living creature. He brought them before Adam, and Adam named them. There was perfect peace in the garden. There was no sin. There was no trouble. Adam would walk by a tree, and it had so much fruit on it, he didn't have to dig in the ground. The fruits came up out of the ground. The garden was there. Everything that man wanted, God had provided it. But God said, "Don't eat of that tree. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And the devil came and he deceived God's people. And Eve went and took of that tree and she ate it and she gave it to her husband. And there was a curse that was passed upon mankind. And the Bible tells us that because of one man's sin, all became sinners. Now that's what the Word of God says. And you say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, what do you believe? Do you believe in the cosmic soup? Now you think about it for just a minute. This is what they teach our kids in school. That there was a little mud puddle. I'm just going to elaborate for a minute, but a mud puddle. And some kind of charge, I don't know, an electric charge or something in the mud puddle began to wiggle. Okay? And when it wiggled a while until it eventually crawled over to the edge and legs popped out of it and it began to walk up out of the mud puddle. Okay, and then all of a sudden it got back legs. It kicked out over here and a tail come out of it. And eventually, all of a sudden, it popped out wings and it became a bird. Do you believe that? You know, we say we don't believe it, but do we believe the Word of God? You came from somewhere. We had an origin, and I believe in a divine creator that made us in God's image for God's purpose. Now, when I look at this Word of God and I see what it says, I will tell you the first thing as I stand up here and preach to you, I do not understand it all, don't claim to know it all, but I know who I'm preaching about because I met Him personally. Well, you got to come from somewhere. What do you believe? There's a guy I work with, and every now and then, you know, you got to be careful at work trying to witness to people. Number one, you got to live right in front of them and wait on the opportunity that God gives you of the moving of the Holy Spirit. But I was trying to talk to this guy, and I said, "Where are you going to be when you die?" He said, "I'm going to be like a German shepherd." He said, "They're going to put me in the ground, and I'm just going to be gone." That'd be an awful way to believe. You know why it'd be an awful way to believe? Because that means that nothing that you do, right? If you believe that, nothing you do today matters. Your memory will be forever gone. I want you to know something. Everything that you do today matters for eternity. And every memory that you have, it matters. And I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see my sister. I'm going to see my grandmother. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see the saints of old. And when I see them, I'm going to know who they are. It matters. What you do matters. Because of Adam's sin, all men became sinners. Well, I don't believe that. Well, folks, that's what the Bible says. By Adam's sin, all men became sinners. God's Word says so. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And I want you to think about something for just a minute. When they were in the Garden of Eden, they had a body that was made out of the clay, but it was an immortal body. And I just believe that with all my heart from what I read. Now, when they were cursed in the garden, the Lord told Adam, He said, "You came from the dirt, you're going to go back to the dirt." Now, that's just a fleshly body. Man is a trichotomy. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. The Bible teaches us that we will have a new body that will live forever in one place or the other, either in eternity in heaven with God or eternity in a place that was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even created for God's people. It wasn't created for you. But people reject God. You know what they say? "Don't believe that. Don't believe that." You know, even after the curse, if you read your Bible, you'll find that people lived to be 900 years old. They lived to be 900 years old, and before the flood, I believe this based on what I've studied, the water said that, you know, the earth was watered because the water came up out of the ground, and there was a dew that came down that was so thick that it had never rained. But when the floods came, the Bible says the deluge came up. The plates of the earth began to move and they began to crack and the water came down. And the ozone layer that was so thick at that time that allowed man to live 900 years old, it was destroyed. And you read in your Bible where the Lord said after the flood, He said, "I will no longer curse the ground for man's sake." And then He said man will live to be 120 years old. You go on a little farther in your Bible and you read, and it said he'll be 70. That's 70 years old. Why? Because the Bible says that the whole earth groaneth and travaileth together until now. The Bible says that the earth itself groans and travails because there's a curse on it. And now, folks, I want to tell you something. You can call it global warming or whatever you want, but you better get ready for a rough winter, or else global warming's about to cause one. We need to believe God's Word rather than to believe man's understanding, because God created us for a purpose and He's got a place prepared for us in eternity. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 1 John 1:8-10 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our unrighteousness." It says that if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, here's the problem. People today, they don't want to accept or believe that they are lost. You know, most people today, they reject this kind of preaching. They reject this kind of story. But I want to tell you something. If you've ever studied anything about evolution, what you'll find is it is unproved. It is unprovable. The scientists themselves even say it. And when you find their quotes, they write these things because the idea of a creator God is unthinkable in their minds because they think that they are too intelligent to believe it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, that they will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Okay, we can make an iPod computer that'll fit in your pocket, but we can't figure out what we need to do to keep our children from going crazy. It's because we've told them there is no God. Some reject it. They refuse what the Bible says. They refuse to obey. They refuse to bow. They're like the story in the Bible where they said, "We will not have this man to rule and to reign over us." Some reject it. Some mock at it. They laugh at it and they think that they are just simply too smart for God. But I want you to think about this for just a minute. I was thinking about a song as we were sitting in Sunday school, and you know, I really was enjoying listening to Brother Larry teach, and I began to sit there and think about how good God is and the reality of God, and you know, there were some testimonies given. I want you to know that He knows where we're at. He knows my name. The Bible says that He knows how many hairs are on my head. He knows what my needs are before I even ask. But people mock at it. God knows all those things about me, but right now, one little thing could go wrong in my body. One blood vessel could enter a vein and travel to my brain. I could have an aneurysm and I'd not make it out of this church alive. You know, people go through life and they reject and they mock God. But one thing you cannot do, you cannot control tomorrow. But it's in the hand of God. Some reject it, some mock at it, but some recognize it. It's like the one when you go and you knock on their door, and this don't happen a whole lot. But you knock on the door and you say, "If you were to die right now, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you know where you'd go?" And I heard somebody say this recently. They said, "Yes, I know where I'd go. I'd go to hell." Now, I'm looking for that person. I'm looking for somebody to respond to me like that. Because, you see, I had a guy come up in my yard not long ago, and he was with one of these cults, and I don't get them a whole lot. I look for them, Brother Tommy. I do. I mean, the Bible says to give no place to the devil. And it even says in one place not to bid them Godspeed. But I want to tell them that there's a God that loves them. And I want to tell them they don't have to work their way into heaven. Man come up in my yard and he was trying to talk to me. And he thought he knew it. He wasn't one of these kids with a black tie and a bicycle. Okay, he was what I call the grand poobah. Okay, he come up, and I was out there working around in the garage, and I'm just going to be honest with you. They aggravate me. I'm busy. You know, I don't have a whole lot of time that's just my time. But I seen this man, and the Spirit of God began to speak to me, and he tried to hand me his little track, and I started talking to him. And it wasn't but just a minute me. I put so much scripture on that guy, he thought he was in an Awana class. And I talked to him, and the more I talked to him, I saw his countenance begin to change, and I saw his countenance begin to fall, and I thought for just a minute, we were going to get down by the garbage can, because you can know that you know Jesus. The bad news is if you've never accepted Christ, you're lost. That's bad news. But I want to give you the good news this morning. That's just the introduction. Here's the good news. The good news is that the call is still going out. Oh, you think about it for just a minute. Just being here this morning in this house, just being in the house of God, in the presence of God, hearing this singing, the call is still going out because the gospel is still being preached. Okay, the call is still going out because the drawing power of the Holy Spirit is still at work. You know, I believe that God gets a hold of people and He'll get to pull it on their heart. And the Bible says in one place, it'll draw you or drive you. The drawing power of the Holy Spirit is still at work. The call is still going out because Jesus Christ has not yet come for His church. And you know, there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to come back, and we as Christians, I'm going home to be with the Lord. I get to hear those songs sometimes, and I just get to praising God. I'm going home to Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I'm leaving here because I'm going to get raptured out. I'm going to leave. I'm going to be with the Lord. The call's still going out because that hadn't happened yet. Do you know that when that happens, people are going to be looking around trying to figure out what's going on. They might even come because there's so much turmoil, and they'll come to the church, but there won't be nobody here. We won't be here having service on Sunday morning because we'll be gone. We'll be at home with the Lord. But I want to tell you right now, the door is still open. The door of mercy is still open. The call is still going out. The call is still going out because God's long-suffering. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning that we have a leader in this country that says this is no longer a Christian nation. But I still believe, and it was said, and I believe that, listen now, it's the prayers of God's people. It's churches like this. It's preachers that are still preaching the Word of God. It's mothers that are still crying out for their children that are holding this thing together right now. God is long-suffering. Says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The call is still going out because God is looking for you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God's looking for you. God loves you more than I could possibly describe. That's good news. The call is going out. Here's other good news. The good news is that no one is so lost that God cannot save them. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, well, you just don't know how bad it is. I want you to know something. God knew how bad it was when He went to the cross. You see, we serve a God that's not held to three dimensions. He lives in the past, the present, and the future. And when He died on the cross, He died for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for your past, present, and future sins, the sins of the whole world. See, God specializes in hard cases. He does. I got a message that I preach sometimes. It's God is in the recycling business. He takes what other people would just throw out and see as nothing. And He picks it up and He wipes it off and He sets it up on the shelf. And He's so proud of it. And when people come by, He says, look at this. This is mine. And I want you to know that there's nothing you've done, nowhere you've been, that's too hard for God. God specializes in the hard cases. And you know, no one is so lost that God cannot save them because God's grace is greater than all our sin. See, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, God's grace is greater than your sin. You know, I know people right now, and I know they've been in a lot of trouble in a lot of places. And sometimes I even hear them say things to me like, well, you just don't know where I've been. And I stop them. I say, you don't have to tell me. I don't have to know the details because I want you to know that I believe that the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient. I want you to know, like the song they sang, the blood can cover it all. God's grace is sufficient. And you got to believe that. You see, there might be somebody here this morning, just like I said earlier, they recognize it. I'm a sinner. I need to have help. I want you to know God can help you this morning. See, here's some good news. God will save you. God will save you. You know, there's some rotten doctrine going around, and when people hear the rotten doctrine, it's almost like God didn't come to save everybody. And as bad as I am, I must have been one of those that was just rejected by God from the very beginning. And when they hear that, they begin to think in their mind, there's no use in me coming forward. I want you to know that is apostasy. It's people not being able to rightly divide the Word of God because He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Scripture says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will save you because He loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And folks, that word world means world. And that word whosoever, it means whosoever. That means you, and God cares for you, and He's got grace that's big enough for you. His arm is not limited or shortened, and He cannot reach to where you're at. He loves you. God will save you because He paid the price for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him," God, speaking of Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And you say, "Well, I want to tell you, I just don't know that God would even touch me." You read your Bible and you find a story of a leper. A person that was a leper. And when everybody passed by the leper, they would get, according to the Old Testament law, on the opposite side of the street. They would hide their children's eyes so that they would not look at them. They would not speak to them. They could not come near a person. And this person had been a leper a long time. The first thing that Jesus did is He touched them. A lot of people need that kind of touch. They need somebody that'll care. Our Lord cares. See, God will save you because He has enough grace to go around for everybody. For everybody. I want to give you these verses. It says in Romans 5:18, it says, "Therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life." Now, because of Adam's sin in the garden, what happened is Jesus Christ came in the world. Adam made us all sinners. Jesus Christ gave us all an opportunity that we might be made right and reconciled before God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, here's the analogy. It's like this. I heard a story to give you a kind of an understanding of what it's like. Could you imagine going into a restaurant and you say, "All right, I'm going into, you know, like Ryan's, I'm just going to buy every seat in the house. You just fill every seat up, and the only thing that would make me happy is if every seat in the house is full. I want to see people eating. I want to see people enjoying it." And you open the door and you put the sign out and you've got the heralder out on the corner. And he's telling it's free. It's free. All you have to do is come in. It's free. And the man comes and he looks and he says, "Well, I've paid for every seat and it's not full." But here's the point. Just because it's not full doesn't mean it's not paid for. God paid for it for every person. Every person. Folks, here's what it is. It is an unlimited atonement to where when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for every person that'll ever live, and all they have to do is accept it, but not everybody's going to accept it. Doesn't mean that it's not paid for. 1 John 2:2 says, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." The whole world. See, God wants to save you, okay? Here's some more good news. I'm going to try to move on. Good news, you do not have to work your way in. Now, that's good news. Now, I want you to think about it for just a minute. If it costs something and you had to get on the... You know, sometimes, and I think about it because we've done come through it, me and my wife, I see these young people getting married and I think, "Oh, Lord, 30-year mortgage." I think about buying furniture. I think about trying to get a car that'll run. I mean, when me and my wife and I got married, I had a truck that burned more oil than it did gas. I kept a case of that recycled oil in the front floorboard of the truck. And it got good gas mileage. But could you imagine what it would be like that if you had to pay your way into heaven? You know what? I want to tell you, and this is where we're at. This is why we have so many cults, and this is why we have so many false religions. Because if people think they can work their way in, they'll sign up. They will. That's why cults are growing faster than Christianity. Because people won't believe two things. They're not willing to believe the Bible. And they're not willing to believe it's free. But you don't have to work your way in. You see, because we're saved by grace, not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, you don't have to work your way in because you're saved by grace. Also because the just shall live by faith, not by works. Romans chapter 3, verse 27, 28 says, where is boasting then? This is excluded by the law of works, but nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. A couple of years ago, we had a guy come in. He was a consultant for a new computer program that we were writing in the building. And I got to go to lunch with him, and we were sitting down at the lunch table, and this man got to talking. And he told me about how he was raised, you know, in church. And he said, but I've tried this religion, I've tried that religion. He said, I was really searching so much that I went back to school, and he told me he had a doctor of philosophy degree. And he said, I want to get out of this, you know, IT work. And he said, I just want to try to help people find the light. And I listened to him till he got done. And then I started talking to him. And I started going through the Word of God, and I started going through man's works, and that's what it was all about. You know, people go through life. If they thought they could work, they'd be working. If they thought they could get on the payment plan, they'd be sending a check every month. It'd be the first check that would go because everybody would want to know that they've got a ticket to heaven. I began to talk to that man, and I got to witness to him, and I took him right back to the beginning, and I said, right there at the beginning when you was in that church, you had the light. You see, people are looking for new light, but they're not willing to walk in the light that they already have. That's why the sales at the Christian bookstores are so high, but the Bibles have dust all over them, because we won't believe what God has already given us. You don't have to work your way in. That's good news. And I'll give you the last one. You can know for sure. You can know for sure. You say, well, I'm just not sure. I'm sure. I'm sure for a number of reasons, okay? But I'll give you a verse of Scripture. I like this verse of Scripture. It's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. It says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. See, He's given them understanding so that they may know that they're in Him. Now, when I heard that song, Oh Happy Day, this hit me. I got excited sitting right over there Monday night. Oh Happy Day, Jesus washed my sins away. I'm not lost. I don't have to worry about it. I can't go to hell. The devil, it ain't none of his business. I'm saved by the grace of God. You can know that you know that you know. You can. You know, we're not saved by our emotions. But I want to tell you something. I got something I can feel. I've heard people talk about it and they say, well, you know, why don't I feel saved? I can get into that. I don't have time to preach that message. But I feel it. Okay, but here's why I'm saved. I'm saved because of the truth. Because of truth. Okay? The Bible tells us what we're supposed to do. If we do what God's Word says and believe what God's Word says, we can be saved and we can know it. Now, I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to give something today called a public invitation. See, I grew up in church all my life, and sometimes I have to stop for just a minute and realize it. You see, on both sides of the pulpit up here, we have what we call altars. And we say, well, those are steps. Well, no, this is where we come and pray. And we're going to give a public invitation, which is like this. We're going to invite you to meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I want you to do something for me for just a minute. I want everybody, if you would, please to bow your heads. And I don't do this very often at all. One thing that I promise you that I will never do is I will never embarrass anybody. And the reason I won't is I take this way, way too seriously. I want you to know something as a preacher. I take what I do up here on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, more serious than anything in my life. Because I believe this book. But if you're here this morning and you've never prayed the prayer and said, God, I know that I'm a sinner. You can. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you want to just pray it with me, you can do it right where you're at. You know, you can get saved. I know a guy got saved riding down the road in the car. I know a guy got saved in his den one Saturday night after he was witness to. He stayed up all night long. You don't have to come up here, but this is an opportunity. You can get saved right where you're at if you talk to the Lord. Now, I'm going to pray this prayer, and if you want to say these words with me, I would so invite you to do so, because there's nothing more important than knowing Christ as your Savior. I'm going to pray this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that I need Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. God, I ask you if you would just reach into my heart, Lord, and save me. Lord, I don't understand everything, but I understand this pulling at my heart, this Holy Spirit that's speaking to me. God, I give you my life, and I give you my all, and I ask you to save me in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're going to sing a song. If you want to come up here and you want to talk to the Lord, this is your opportunity. If you want to come up and just anything I can pray with you about, we'll do that. There's people in this church right now that would love to pray with you. We want to see God's kingdom go forward. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that the Lord has only given us a certain amount of time, and we're not going to have that time anymore. Now, it could be my life, but I believe he's going to give us a certain amount of time for all. As you sing right now, this is your opportunity to publicly talk to the Lord. Amen.
Rescued me one glorious day. He brought me out, paid a debt I could not pay. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin, set me free. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed chains of sin, set me free. Still I in a foreign land, but now I'm free according to redemption's plan. Soon I'll join the robed and white, the redeemed. We'll sing a song holy angels cannot sing. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin, set me free. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains.
Some glorious morning they will come from all nations, from every generation. Side by side they will march into the celestial city of Jehovah. And in perfect harmony they will begin humming a new song, a song composed by God, arranged for His children. As the saved by grace approach the land of their dreams, the host of heaven will step aside. Even the angels will be silent, for they cannot sing this new song. For it is a song reserved for the voices who once cried out for the Redeemer, those washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, these are the redeemed.
As they pray, play this morning, you know, there's really nothing more important than knowing the Lord. There's really not. And we're only here a short time. And it's between you and Him. You know, if it were up to me, every person would be saved. Every person. You know, if you believe like I believe, and some of you understand what I'm talking about, and you got children that are not saved or not living for the Lord, it's on your mind and your heart every day. Because that's why we're here. That's why we're on this earth, is to serve God. My heart's desire and prayer is that God would go with you and you'd remember these words, and we're not going to prolong the service, but that God would work in your heart and your life.